heard a song this morning, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And it was really nice. I really enjoyed that song, so I'd just like to tell you I wouldn't rather be anywhere but here right now. It's really nice to be here. It's a different atmosphere for me tonight. As many of you know, it's the year for the Summer Olympics. And I've seen in all TV commercials, and I've seen all the different logos at Kroger night after night after night. I've seen all the rings. Yeah. So I know it's coming, and I think to myself what it must take to be an Olympic athlete. What time, energy, the training they have to go through, how intense that could be, and what the moment must be like when you have to take the stage in front of all these people to make that team, to try out for it. But as I was thinking about this, God turned my attention to how it all correlates with your Christian walk and how we are a part of a team, God's team. See, but he showed me something different. And he showed me that we all have a particular part to play. And without it, our team would be compromised and we would fail. We wouldn't win. We wouldn't be able to function at a full 100% all of the time. So I thought, how would it look for a football team? You know, what if I was playing quarterback and I drop back and there's no receivers? Then what? Or the receiver running downfield as hard as he can, there's no ball in the air because there's no quarterback. Or the center snaps the ball and there's no quarterback. And who's there to get it? Who's there to help execute the play? Nobody. What if the quarterback gets the ball, but the only lineman he has is the center, and the rest of them are gone? That's problematic. He can't do it alone. He won't be able to function at 100%. The team won't make it. The team will lose every time. And even worse, they could sustain injury. I think that's the same situation with the church. I don't know about you, but I want to play on a team that wins. I don't want to play on a team that loses all the time. Winning and losing is part of life, I get it, but I want to play on a team that wins. And where everybody plays their part, where everybody gives, where everybody puts in the time. I want to be on that team where we huddle up and call a play and we all go out there and we all know what we're doing, we all do our job and we all execute and score and win. Someday, when we get to the gates of heaven and we've won, God will look at us all and he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, look around you. Great is your reward." Why? Because we've won. Because we've put in the time, we've executed our plays, we've scored, and we've won the game. I'm sure a lot of you remember the, I want to say the 1984, it could be wrong, the U.S. hockey team when they beat Russia for the gold. I didn't get to watch it on TV, obviously, because 84 is quite a long time ago. No offense, but I'm only 18 years old. So when I did see the movie The Miracle, it was so exciting to see these guys' passion, their guts, their blood and tears put into this game. This game. They did sustain injury, and they went and battled exhaustion, and they persevered like we should. We persevere, we press on. We keep going, and we get up one more time. Never quit, never retreat. I want to play with that team. Now, I'm not very good at hockey, but I want to play with that team. Or the 1996 girls' gymnastics team with Carrie Strug. She had, now I watched it on YouTube as well, because I was only 3 or 4 at the time, but I watched it just recently even, and she had 2 shots at the vault, and she had to get it like a 9.4 or something, or more than that, or something like that, to win the gold. And she has 2 shots at this, so her first one she takes off, and she's running. You can see it in her face, she's running. And as she hits the springboard, and she jumps and does this flip, she sticks the landing, bam, and she's injured. She falls. She gets up, her arms in the air, she doesn't get what she needs. Close, but she fell. So as she limps back, she can barely walk, and she's limping back to the starting line because she's going to do it again. That's the perseverance we need. That's the perseverance. That's the get up and do it again. And so she's limped back to the starting line. She's concentrated. The focus is in her eyes. And she turns and she runs. And she takes off again. The limp's gone. She hits the springboard one more time. Now this time as she's flying through the air, I think God's got something different for her. Because as she's flying through the air, she sticks the landing. Boom! On one foot. And doesn't move. Now she turns and puts her arms up in the air. I think she got a 9.7 and the U.S. won the gold. As she stuck the landing on her one foot, arms up in the air, she turns when she's done and she fell. Because she just couldn't do it. So I see us doing that many times in our life. We fall and we get back up and we fall and we get back up, but sometimes we don't get back up. Now she's laying here hurt. Her coach comes over and she picks her up. You know, she takes her off to the side and she's done it. Well done, good and faithful servant. Good, great, you know, great is your reward. She's done it. She's won the race. She's won the game. Now God does this sometimes in our lives. He sees us fall and we're injured and we get back up. Now as the coach did with Carrie Strug, and God does with us, he picks us up and takes us to our podium, cast on our foot and all. And he takes us there so we can get our reward. And great it is. And Jesus does that for us often. He does it for us. I want that kind of ending to my life. That's what I want. The kind of ending Stephen had. See, Stephen, he was a part of a team of preachers whose purpose in life was to spread the gospel at all costs. Spread the gospel. Because no matter how much you do it, there's always people that need to hear the gospel. And so their purpose, there were seven of them, their purpose was to spread the gospel as he did till the day he was stoned to death. That's perseverance. To death. Not till I'm tired, I want to go home and take Motrin and relax. Till death. He was stoned to death doing his job that God had given him. But he had a strong ending. He never backed down and he never gave up. The Bible, Acts 7, verse 56, is what Pastor read. And it says again, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Now, we know that the Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. That's where he belongs. But when Stephen reached heaven and the gates opened up, the Bible said, "Son of Man, standing." Now, he's a pretty prestigious guy. I don't know if you know him. He's a pretty prestigious guy. And to get him on his feet for what you've done for him, that's pretty miraculous. That takes a lot of perseverance, getting back up once you're knocked down. I believe he anticipated the arrival of Stephen. Not just, he'll be here soon. No, he's chomping at the bit to stand up and yell and cheer for this man that's going to walk through these gates. He was excited. He couldn't wait to show him around. And once again, tell him, "Look around you, Stephen. Great is your reward. I want to be part of that team." Serving and preaching, spreading the gospel. Maybe when I hit the door someday, it might be said to me that the Son of Man was standing. I don't know what I got to do it, but that'd be nice. That'd be nice. That's the team that I want to be on. What an honor to think that Jesus could possibly even think about anticipating my arrival. Now, I think he was anticipating Stephen, but to even think about anticipating mine would be enough for me. That'd be sufficient. I'd be okay with that. How about you? What do you want your ending to be? Well, I'm going to hope I can tell you how tonight. I'm going to give you a little bit of help. First, you got to be on the team, okay? Team Jesus. And like any other team in the whole world, you ain't got to try out. It's like an offer. You just got to reach out and take it. That's all. He's not saying like the world. He's not of the world. He's not saying you got to run this fast. Your 40 time has to be a 4 point so-and-so to play this position. He's not saying you got to jump this high. He's not asking you to have superhuman strength. I wouldn't make the team. He's asking you to put your hand out and take the offer. See, I live by the saying, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And that's kind of where I'm at today in my life, because I'm qualified to do, well, I am, I guess now, but when he first called me, I didn't want to do it, because why? I wasn't qualified. So he's not asking that you do anything special. You just got to reach out and take it. Jesus does it all. All we got to do is say, I want to play. I want to be on the team. Anyone could be on this team. Acts 6, verse 5 states, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost." Full of faith and the Holy Ghost. He's not saying, "Okay, Jesus, here, I want to be on your team. Kind of just do this." No, he's full of faith saying, "Jesus, I'm on your team because I know what I'm going to do is great because of you." He's stepping out in faith saying, "Jesus, I know I will fail once or twice, but I know who's going to catch me." He that's faith. He didn't have no pre-knowledge of what's going to happen. He didn't. He said, "Jesus, here am I. Take me. Use me." See, you've already been chosen to be a part of that team. See, he didn't have to do anything special. He was chosen. Stephen was. He's just waiting for you to take it. You see, it isn't about what we can do, but what Jesus has already done. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's every one of us in this room tonight. No matter how you feel, no matter how you think, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I have many times. We are in and of ourselves. And we ourselves are not good enough to make the team. The Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. And because of this, we have a debt to pay. One that we cannot afford. So Jesus said, "Because of my mercy for you, I'll go to the cross and pay all your debts for you. I'll make you good enough for the team. I'll give you everything you need. Just say yes. Just receive the invitation is all you got to do. Just reach out and take it. Join the team like Nike says. Just do it. That's all you got to do. If you cannot for certain say that you have joined the team, I urge you tonight to make that decision. I'll be down here at the end, and I'll be down there to help anybody join the team. See, I don't hold the contracts. Jesus holds the contracts, but I'll help you sign them. I ain't got no problem doing that. You want to sign a contract? Step out and say it. Secondly, once you're on the team, and we make that happen, determine what position you're called to play. God has a place for every one of us. He gives us special talents for us to share. Without each other, we cannot function at 100%. We got to be a force to be reckoned with, kind of. It's kind of how we got to feel about God and his power and what we need to do for him. Just like the Bible describes, the church is a body. Without all of its members, it's crippled and injured. We function, but not as well as we could if every member worked together to accomplish the goal that has been set. One thing's for sure. God didn't create you to be a bench warmer. Okay? You can't get on the team and want to serve water. You can't. I mean, you don't want to sit back and just watch the game. He's given you the tools you need to step on the field and go 100% at all times. You'll never run out of any tools, any whatever you think you need. He's got you. We have plenty of spectators. We need participants. Never say, "I can't do it," or you compare yourself to someone else. God has a plan especially designed for you. It could be of the same category, but there are different routes. There's different plans. Every one of us has a different plan in life. And all of them are good. It says that in Jeremiah. God's got a plan for every one of us, and the plan is of good, not evil. Although it may seem scary, it may seem out of the ordinary. You think Noah was okay with running around town telling people to help me build a massive boat? They have never seen rain. And he's running around town telling these people, "Let's go build a boat." That's not out of the ordinary to anybody else. He had to do that, and he did. It's obedience. You got to get off the bench. And once you do, you can't try to be something you're not. If you're an arm, be an arm. If you're a leg, be a leg. It'd be kind of hard to throw a football with your foot. If you want to be an arm, I guess that's not God's plan for you. If you're a leg, you got to embrace your leg capabilities and go do it. See, that goes along with the whole plan. See, if he makes you an arm, you're going to be the best arm he's got. If you're going to be a leg, you're going to be the best leg he's got. An eye, I don't care, whatever you got to be, you're going to be the best at it. Will you fail? Probably. Should you get back up? Yeah, you should. It helps us to grow and develop the skills to accomplish his will. See, we got to learn from our mistakes. We've heard that since we were born. But really, you'll learn from your failures. Because if you succeed too much, I think we kind of get big-headed or something, like we're doing it for ourselves, you know? Look at me, look at me. So God's got to keep you honest and make you fail a couple times, keep you humble. You can't be scared to step out and do it either. If my life was perfect and it was my plan, I wish to be playing football somewhere. I wish to be studying architectural engineering. That's what I wish to do. But see, God says he is strong in our weaknesses. And I don't like speaking in front of people. It's my weakness. But God is strong in it. And that's faith. I got to trust that he's going to be there for me. I got to trust. I have to have the faith to do it. Let me ask you. What would you do if you weren't afraid? If there was no such thing as fear, what would you do? Think about it. There is no limit on what you think you could do. What made Stephen so great was his desire to go and do whatever needed to be done. See, me and Pastor were talking about it, he's got a servant's heart. And the servant's heart means you're willing to do anything. Not some things that you're good at. You're willing to do anything. If you're not good at it, you're going to get better. It's kind of how it is. If you ask you to scrub toilets, you're going to scrub toilets. Sorry. That's how it is. You got to be willing to do anything and everything at any given moment. He didn't let fear stop him. Accept the position God has given you. Conquer your fear and just do it. Lastly, know that sometimes in life, you're going to be asked to sacrifice. You're going to. I was talking to a friend one time, and we were talking about baseball being like the Christian walk. And in baseball, you watch the game. I don't know how many baseball fans we have out here, but I have a little bit of knowledge. And sometimes the batter steps up to the plate knowing he's going to get out. Why? To advance that runner closer to home. So he steps up with a servant's heart. He can't go up to dragging the bat because he doesn't want to do it. It's not a servant's heart. No. Okay. You got to have a servant's heart. You got to want to do it. You got to be willing. Otherwise, I mean, I feel if you don't do it with a servant's heart and you don't want to do it, it doesn't really mean much, does it? You got to want to do it, and not for your own personal image. You got to do it because you want to serve God. You have to want to advance the runner. And Stephen did this. He knew if he continued to spread the word, he'd get himself into a lot of danger, resulting in death. He knew that ahead of time. But he did. He pushed through. He persevered. He kept going. He got knocked down and got back up because he knew he would advance all of us closer to home. That was the betterment for the team. Stephen the batter stepped up to the plate with a servant's heart, took the swing, took the out. And now because of that, we're going home. You got to do it for the betterment of the team, God's team. Our military and their families sacrifice themselves that others may advance. Parents sacrifice for their kids. The greatest sacrifice was Jesus. He went to the cross and gave himself that we might advance closer to home. Many times, what seems to be our personal sacrifice isn't a lesson to teach us or punishment, but to advance the other person. I thank God for all those like Stephen, and even in the present day, that sacrifice daily that I may advance. In closing tonight, I say again, I want to be part of the team. I know I'm part of the team. Jesus' team, where no one is left out. Everyone has a position. We are in service to one another. Sacrificing self to advance others, I see it like this. Jesus calls us to be a gymnast, to perform a balance beam routine. We have to balance our lives. We have a choice to say yes and jump on, get our balance and take that journey. Will we fall a few times? I mean, sure, yeah, I'm going to fall. I'm going to get back up. But it's not important how many times you fall. It's how many times you get back up. Get off the bench and stop playing it safe and do what God has for you. He's got something. You got to communicate with Him, pray to Him, seek it out. See, someday we'll reach heaven and face our judges. Do you want to be the one that's holding tight like a koala bear to this beam, riding through life? Okay, I made it. I'm here. Hi, Jesus. Here I am. There's my journey, my big ending. We're going to be like Carrie Strugs. We're going to limp back to the starting point after we fall. Are we going to run as hard as we can with a broken wing? Hit that springboard, fly through the air, and know that God's got something for us. This is going to be great. Not because of me, but because of God. Watch out. Here I come, Jesus. I'm coming. Bang. Stick the landing. My arms go up in the air. Perfect 10, Jesus says, standing, the hand of the Father clapping and cheering, yelling, well done, my child. Look around you, great is your reward. I want to be on that team, don't you? Amen. Then just do it. As Adam comes to sing tonight, in closing, as Adam comes to sing, I invite you right now, not tomorrow, not the next week, right now, I invite you to come forward and sign this contract with God. Ain't no greater contract than the one with God. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have Jesus than a $17 billion contract with the NFL team. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I invite you now to come step on that team. Take the journey. Let's get on the balance beam. Let's fall a few times. Let's get back up. Let's hit that jump, the springboard, and let's fly through the air, and let's stick that landing so Jesus may give us a standing ovation one day. How great is that? Just do it today.